Welcome this morning. It is a joy to be in your midst, and even though there's no people in church here, but those that have that are listening online or will be listening online later, I want to extend a hearty welcome to each and everyone. It is truly a blessed day. I want to greet you with the words which we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. And when we look at these verses, God wants the very best for us. He wants us to be able to live in peace. He wants his grace to be within us, that we know that it's there and that we have been when we have asked for forgiveness for our sins, that he has forgiven us. And he wants us to be out there in the world telling the people of what he has done for us. And the peace that he offers us, according as it says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us glory and virtue. He has given us everything. There's nothing lacking. So let's take that and let's go forward. Let's not be discouraged because of the circumstances that we're facing these days. But let's rather be encouraged of the technology that we have, the way that we are still able to spread God's word. And through this, he has given us very many precious promises. If we are faithful, if we do what he has called us to do, that we have been able to escape the corruption that is in this world. We don't have to dwell on it. We need to look at the broader picture, and that is Jesus Christ and what he has to offer us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you for another beautiful day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for this country, and I know we're restricted, but we live in a free country, and we have been able to enjoy it for so many years already. Father, we pray that you would be with our government, protect him from Satan. When we look at the decisions that we make, we think that they could have done better, and maybe they could have. But when they don't have you living within their hearts, they do the best that they can. They turn to whatever means are offered to them, and that is what we see is happening. But Father, in you, we know that it is a lot brighter. And so we lift up our government to you, protect them. May your spirit be upon them day and night, and that they would be able to choose righteousness over unrighteousness. Father, I thank you for each one that has made a decision to tune into your word this morning, and whatever do it. May your Holy Spirit be upon them. May it bless them. May it encourage them. We also know that there are many shut-ins, people that are on their own, who can't have many visitors, people that are in hospitals. Be with them in a special way. May they sense your nearness. Father, pray that each word that is spoken today, each song that is sung, that it might be an encouragement, that it might be truth. For we know that the truth is what will endure to the end. And Lord, as you give me the words to speak, that I might speak them boldly. In your precious name we pray this with thanksgiving. Amen. This morning I want to, first of all, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. And here Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he was speaking to Thomas there, but he's speaking to each and every one of us today, that there is only one way, and it is Jesus Christ, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, but by him. And I want to go to the beginning of the chapter. Very encouraging words, and these are Jesus' own words, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he's talking about our future home after this. If we have surrendered our life to him, when we have given ourselves 100% to him, the assurance that we have in him, where he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And that is when Thomas asked. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then Jesus tells him again, and I'm sure Thomas has heard this before already, but when we look at the lives that the people lived in those days, where they came from and where they transitioned to, I'm wondering how well I would have fared making that change of having to take animals, have them offered up for the sins that I had committed, for the sins that the people committed, coming into the time of grace, where Jesus said, I am the way, and there is no other way. No more blood would be able to be shed but his own blood for the sins of the world. It would be in vain. If people continue to do that, it is in vain. Jesus has paid the price. He promised Adam and Eve before he sent them out of the Garden of Eden that he would send them a redeemer. And this is who he was talking about. And this is that great and wonderful Savior that we still have with us, who leads, guides, and protects us. He gives us peace. And he has promised us a house in heaven. When the trials in this life are over, there will be peace forevermore, where Satan has no power. At this time, in this world, he does have power. And as long as we live, he will have power. But when God takes our last breath away, the decision has been made. And if we have been faithful to him to the end, it is in this house, and sometimes it is referred to a mansion. And I like that word a lot better than a house, because I don't know what it is to live in a mansion. Walking streets of pure gold, it'll be worth it all. In John chapter 12, verse 23 to 26, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So here Jesus is talking about himself here. He said he would give himself when he's talking about the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Jesus is talking about himself, giving his life on the cross. And he goes on and he says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground, it dieth. And dieth, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. For those of us that have had the opportunity to work in a garden or on a field, and we can see that so very, very clearly, why he refers to some, here he's talking about a corn, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. If some seed doesn't go into the ground and die, it is in vain. And likewise, our lives also. We need to surrender self. We need to give ourselves over to God. Die to self and live for Christ, to Christ. Live the way that he has written it in the book. And when we think back again of the children of Israel, the people that it talks about in the Old Testament, how they had to go forward in faith, and you led them, Jesus. You led them, God. And we have the book. We have the truth before us. We can read about it. We don't have to wonder what will happen tomorrow. And yes, we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but you have given us a roadmap that we can follow. We have the assurance of salvation. We know what is required of us. I want to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. And he said unto them, and here these are Jesus' words again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So this isn't something that we can just do one time and then say, I am good for the rest of my life. That I have the assurance of salvation if I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He says, take up his cross daily and follow him. In verse 24, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So it isn't about us, but it is about us giving ourselves, surrendering ourselves over to him and allowing him to work through us. In verse 25, he says, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The things of this world, they will perish. They will fade away. They will burn up, as it says. They will burn up at the end when Christ has called everyone away from this world. And then in verse 26, for myself, I have to so many times think of this verse where he says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And for many people, that day has come already. God has taken them away from this world. And he promises us that the time will come, there will still be people left, and he will take them away. They will not physically die in this world, but he will come and take them away. And what a glorious day that'll be when troubles will have ceased. I want to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 6, or sorry, verse 1. It talks about submitting to authorities. And in this case, I want to direct the authorities to the government. We know that when we are part of an organization, there are more than just one or two people, and and somebody has to make up the guidelines that they want to follow, and that is just the way it'll be. Not everybody will get his way. And this verse, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. When we look at some of the things that they have told us that we need to do, and when we go into public places, they want us to wear masks. And sometimes we find it so hard to be obedient. And even though we might not believe that it truly helps, but it is still something that they have called us to do. It is something they have asked us to do. And then it is something that we need to do. If we want to be obedient to God, we also need to be obedient to our government. When I look at subject, I was told that it doesn't tell us to obey the government, but the person told me to be subject. Well, what does subject mean? When I looked it up, it talked about owing obedience or allegiance to the power or dominion of another. Owing obedience. I understood what owing obedience meant, but then it talked about allegiance. So I looked at the word allegiance, and there it said the obligation of a citizen to his government, loyalty, obedience, and respect. So what does it mean when it says, let every soul be subject unto higher power? We need to be obedient. If it doesn't go against the word of God, we need to be obedient. And I know that we can take the stipulations that the government has placed before us and we can turn it in a way that we can say it is going against God's word. But is it truly going against God's word? We still have the freedom to preach. We still have the freedom to walk in this country and talk to other people about Jesus Christ. We can confront people of the sin that they're living in. And we don't know how long we will have that freedom, but at this very moment, we still have that freedom. There is a bill going through the justice system right now, Bill C-6, and I'm not sure what's all in it. But this I know, that righteousness feeds righteousness and unrighteousness feeds unrighteousness. And the bill, some of the things that are stated in the bill, they feed unrighteousness. And we know that unrighteousness will not stand. And so we need to really take this matter into prayer and pray for our government, that they would be able to choose wisely. If we just stand back and say, God will, God is there, but he wants us as his servants, as his followers, to be his hands and feet. He wants us to come to him with all our petitions, and he knows how serious we are. He knows whether we're sincere or not. And if we're sincere, he will hear our prayers. Will he always answer our prayers in the way that we think he should? No, he won't, because we don't always understand even what we pray for. But this we know, that the things that come to pass, he has allowed. He says all governments are ordained by God, whether they're righteous or unrighteous. He allows us to choose how we want to live our lives. And we need to be obedient. We need to respect where we can. And if it goes against the word of God, then we need to stand up. And I want to turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. First of all, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So in this verse, it tells us that we ought to obey God rather than men. But when we look into the verses before that, Paul, Peter, and the other apostles, they were taken captivity. They were taken in because they were preaching the word of God and the people didn't like it. So they held them fast and they said, "Stop doing this. You cannot do this." But they also, they knew that they couldn't punish Peter to death because of the people that know, that knew Peter and the apostles and the preaching that they had. But they still forbid him that. In verse 28, it says, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And that is when Peter says that we need to obey God. And we need to obey God. And the time might come where we have to stand up, truly stand up, where we will be imprisoned, where we will be persecuted. But right now, we still have the freedom to teach and to preach, to spread God's word. It has not been taken away. And let's not get discouraged. Not allow the mass and some of the other regulations that they have, stipulations that they have placed before us, to get us discouraged. Because if it does, Satan has won. We're not in the right mind frame. We are not, our mind isn't set right. We don't think right. And God says we're either for him or against him. And when we have bad thoughts, that tells me that our mind isn't right and we're not thinking clearly, that we can choose clearly. So when we think of that, how can we know what to follow, what to do, and what not to do or follow? In John chapter 14, verse 17 and 18, we read, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." What a wonderful promise we have here. And how Jesus says that the world will not understand because they don't know me. They haven't accepted me. But we know him, those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we do our utmost to live according to his word. He says, "I will never leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He will be there. He will carry us through. In John chapter 8, verse 12, John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What a wonderful promise again we have in this verse here, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And the light of the world, if it is within us, it needs to shine out of us into this dark world. There are still many, many people that are lost. They're on the broad way to destruction. And Jesus doesn't want the death of a sinner. So I want to encourage us, let's not despair. Let's not give up. But let's take what we have and use it to the fullest capacity that he allows us to use it. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. A promise, but shall have the light of life. Then when I go to verse 31 in that same chapter, John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if a two-letter word that means so much, are ye me, my disciples? In verse 32, he says, and ye shall know the truth. And that applies only to those that if they continue, if we don't continue him, we will also not know the truth and we won't be able to choose. And the truth shall make you free. And then if I go to verse 6 or 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, the words of Jesus just confirming that if we have surrendered ourselves to him, if we continue in his word, that we are his disciples, we will have the truth within us. Will we always make the right choices? Probably not, because we are born of a sin nature and we will fall short. We will make mistakes. But that doesn't mean that God has given up on us. When we realize that we have fallen short, we can come to him, repent of our sins, and he will forgive us. Or he has forgiven us. When we repent, he has forgiven because he died on the cross, he says, for all our sins. And when we're sorry for our sins, for what we have done, that means they are forgiven. They will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life on the day when Jesus calls us away from this world. But let's not fall into a snare, as it is stated in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. When we just read in John chapter 8, where it talked about if we continue. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And when I looked up pernicious, it talks about evil. And many shall follow their, and I'm going to use evil, and many shall use the follow their evil ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Not knowing. Having given in, making poor choices, knowing we've made poor choices and not making them right. Let's choose wisely. Let's continue doing what God has called us to do, being his hands and his feet. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is just, these verses are recorded or written just before Jesus went to heaven. And he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's allow this commandment to flow through us, that when we walk in this world, wherever it is, whatever it is that we do, that it might always shine, and that his word can go forth. And that when he calls, when he comes back, when he does the reaping, that there might be more people for the kingdom of God. That our light has shown other people that light. For closing, I want to share a couple of verses out of Revelations. Revelations chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Revelations chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And here we read, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." For closing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne one more time this morning. We thank you for the opportunities that we still have. We thank you for leaving us a roadmap. Father, we pray that as we go forward, should we have been discouraged, that we would be encouraged. And for those that were encouraged, that they wouldn't get discouraged, but that we can be a brighter light for you. That is the only thing that will endure for all eternity, is what we do for you, not on our own, but according to your will. Humbling ourselves, giving ourselves over, allowing you to use us. Father, we want to thank you once again for this freedom that we have, and pray that your hand would continue to be upon this country, and that we would be able to further enjoy the freedom that we've had for so many years already, and we thank you for that. We pray this all in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. For closing, I want to bless you with the benediction which we find in Jude, verse 24 and 25. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Remember, Jesus is watching. Let's be his hands and feet.